Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
...cast while walking. I'm going to do what an electron looks like from a quantum mechanical viewpoint. But before I go, I'll just give you... before I start off, I'll just give you a background. Just checking everything's...
Well, I can get the microphone a bit better.
You can hear some traffic.
Hello.
You can hear some traffic, and I'm walking back from my blood test, and I can say to all you warpies out there, now warpie used to be the Australian term for someone who worked for the warps, before they were all computerised. I suppose some people work on it nowadays, but the boats come in and the computers take off the cargo, store them, put them on trains, computerised trains go everywhere. Some people, I suppose truckies, but warpies are people who take warfarin nowadays. And I can confirm, after about five absolute dream blood samples, is that drinking a litre of pure water slowly needing to go to the toilet is what you need to do. So I'll just take a break there. And I just nearly set off home without remembering what I had walked up the hill to do, and that is have a haircut. And the local Iraqi refugees have got, I think the haircut business, hair barber business, sort of strange. It's not that there's anything sinister with it. Different ethnic groups tend to go into different groupings, and basically in Sydney, at least for that, around this time, the odds are you will have an Iraqi barber. There you go. For it. So that's and so it's a sort of generalised thing, because one of the things of an established community is that it can, it can actually absorb people in the profession and take people on who aren't just quite there yet. Well, it's an interesting group that IP Australia calls the Automated. It's had lots of people working out Intellectual Property Australia, and so everyone working there came from Jesuit Catholic schools. It was just one of those things that came across, and all happened, I suppose, in a couple of years' time. You'll have these industries change their game. If anyone does any work in Australia, I don't know, because computers are taking over. Driverless cars, I suppose, are coming. Electric cars are coming. Let's see how it all goes. So, as I promised, I would see if I could talk about the electron and quantum mechanics, and I'm sort of trying to approach it from the... I have to wait for this. Approach it from... So there's going to be some noise here as the cars come past, and I'll continue talking through it. I hope you can get through it. There's Breakout the River Meets. My God, what the heck is that? Honest me. Oh dear. Very mixed marketing messaging there, that truck going past there. What do electrons look like? You know, if I'm talking about something that isn't a ghost, it is a thing. What does it look like? That's the most fairest things. And you will be told by teachers that the electron is so small you can't see it. You know, that is true. Seeing something involves light, and you need to generate light. So that's what you're told. The sort of flip side of this is that absolutely everything is electrons. You know, the thing that you see is an electron, because light is generated as electromagnetic radiation. Light is generated when an electron moves from one state to another.
So electrons are all things, all colours, everything that you can see is electrons. Things that which are invisible are, I suppose, g'day mate, free electrons, free neutrons. Anything, any subatomic part is unseeable, but electrons en masse, swarm of electrons, are visible. So, in essence, although you may not be able to see a bee, you'll be able to see a beehive. And if you imagine a, well, even single electrons emit light, and pretty much similar to a whip crack, they emit light. And now they emit light, everyone says, is a quanta of energy. And a quanta of energy and a quantum of angular momentum. So, let's put those two things. This is light, an electron coming out. So, an electron has a, when it's sitting there, has a effective spin. So, a little bit different. You know, you spin the bottle when you're at your early teens camping party, and they spin the bottle and you have to kiss the person opposite. Hopefully they arrange it so it's boy, girl, and all that other crap. So when you spin the bottle, when you spin it, that's got angular momentum. Now, electrons are a little bit different in that, unlike a bottle, they don't have a surface or any distinguishable parts. So although it spins, you can see it spinning, you can't see it spinning. It doesn't spin, well, I suppose it spins at a certain number of revolutions per second. That's basically its energy. It's got a phase on it, but it doesn't spin like, spin in terms of it doesn't have the outer bits of it. Doesn't spin at a rate such that it's large and it's spinning and it's pulled on the outside. It's got so I'm just crossing the road here, just checking I don't get run over. Amount of angular momentum. So this is one of our first things, is that everything is electrons, and electrons emit emit light when they change shape, and they change shape. So an electron is a particular thing of a shape. It's dispersed. It can be quite big. It can actually be big enough to be seen. Now, what do I mean by that? You can actually see directly electrons, that is free electrons in the metal surface. Silver, if you like, is the surface of electrons. This is electrons which are able to respond to radiation and throw it out, because electrons basically have got electric fields. They can charge, and as such, that if they're constrained in a race, they form an antenna, and an antenna emits, and receives light radiation, and the light itself has several constraints on it to fit within our universe. Our universe transmits light by the nature of space. Space, a box of nothingness, has a certain capacitance value, and a certain inductance. This is basically, it's got a back EMF. So like your washing machine gives a kick, might dim the lights if you don't have it going quickly. And as it speeds up, it draws less power. So it's got a back EMF. There's a resistance of space.
So one of the things, g'day mate, the space can actually transmit light, right? But it can only transmit light with each light particle packet has to have an angular momentum of plus one or minus one for left or right hand polarization of light. So the actual polarization of light is how it goes. So it's a rather interesting. I find this a bit interesting. If you look at the actual distribution of light and the angular momentum of light from a source, it overall adds up, but it also individually, individually adds up. Okay, general waste. Thank you, children's. That's going to be good. So that's sirens on, so that's someone, basically, if you're going to die, within whatever it is. I know this because we called an ambulance and they said, oh, that person's it's going to be at risk within such and such a time. Sirens on. Okay, getting back to it. So light carries this unit of angular momentum. So you can actually feel angular momentum in yourself. Can you feel it? I suppose you can. Angular momentum has units of kilograms, meters squared, seconds to the minus one. And so it's your speed by distance, and you can actually feel it. If you do a spin on your chair, you can feel it spinning out. And what you are feeling there is your intrinsic angular momentum. Angular momentum has, unlike linear momentum, which is if I can shoot, I can get a pop gun, a little toy gun which fires a plastic bullet to go faster than the speed of sound. How do I do it? Well, I go in a jet liner travelling just beneath the speed limit. I can do that in a Concorde, or those people are the old jets. That would have been fantastic. All the names are coming back to me, having a jet go. So there's linear and angular momentum. Linear momentum is relative, but angular momentum is absolute. There is this fantastic stuff about it, and it's to do with space and the symmetries and the various dimensions freezing out in space. And so our space has a absolute position of angular momentum, and this so it all works together. It means that electrons, because you've got an absolute zero, it's sort of like you have a zero in your bank account, you can trade it. Linear momentum is not so tradable. It's a bit more up for grabs. Now, the other aspects of it, one of the things I'm not quite sure of, to myself, quite honestly, going through I'm sure it must be so, but there is an energy associated with angular momentum. Okay, so you can spin up a flywheel and store energy in that, and that energy should be measurable by the mass in equals mc squared. Coming across there. Now, the way that you would look at that is that each individual component is travelling at a velocity. Therefore, it's got a, relative to the frame of the observer, it's got a different mass. It would be really interesting, like, if you go past a flywheel spinning, whether you would observe the mass of that flywheel change. That is, if you have a flywheel and it's spinning towards you, would you, issue, and there's sort of certain basic principles which allow you to go through it. through there. So your light's got angular momentum, your electron has an angular momentum, and so like electrons have to pitch light spin the light with it, like a googly left over the wicket. And so that electrons just don't plop off the light. They caress with the electric field that they feel, that has resonated in them. They caress the field in space and let their little baby photons out into the world with a spin. So it's how they caress it. It's sort of like a dough kneading process. This electron kneads the dough. And when it goes down to it, it will settle to another stable state. Now, electrons can actually not transmit light. They can feel light, get up there and say, and up, off you go again. And it's sort of like a hot potato. You can hot potato light. So electrons can either absorb and emit light, or they can hold on to light for a little while. And holding on to light for a little while is refractive index. So refractive index, say a refractive index of 5, I think there is something, things like that, means that for light, which is, will travel a certain distance, say it's got 1 meter, so you throw a light at 1 meter per second, for instance, to this person, they hang on to it for four seconds, so their net speed, rather than being 1, is 5. Yeah, that's a refractive index of 5. How long light holds onto whatever it is. This is the coppers. Oh my God. Sorry, cops are slightly, I mean, when you're driving, you have to watch out for them. When you're walking, they're always pretty friendly. And they pretty much rely on Aussies around the place saying, "Oh, mate, look up there. Oh, I saw so and so." And they can pretty much rely on just people brushing them in the right direction. It's pretty amazing that someone will see someone in struggle, have a question, not interfere with them, but then say, "Oh," and the police will go up and look after them. I've got a little bit of a hill to get up. So this is the general gist that of electrons. So at school, your primary school taught teachers who, bear in mind, have people have won the right to teach them incorrect information early on. We'll give you a little drawing of an atom where the electron is on a little spot and say, "Tiny little spot, you can't see it, it's unseeable." But you can actually indeed see atoms. When I see a cup, I am seeing a large number of atoms. And what I'm seeing, am I seeing the nucleus? No. Am I seeing the electrons? Yes. Why is that so? How can I say it? Well, the electrons are big, but the fact that they're big is not the main story. They are spongy bits of dough which bounce light out. Yeah? There. That's what an electron is. An electron is a spongy piece of dough which is vibrating, and it's vibrating, pushing against space. Okay, the fundamental thing about space is that it is resistant to electric field in such a way that the electric field can travel. It's sort of like a string. Space is like a string. It's a resistance. It can push against it. It's springing against space. It's kind of springing against space and springing against the central charge it's with. and it can transfer energy from the proton electron system into the space system. Now, there's a whole series of what we call palava. That's a load of palava. I don't know if you've got that word. That is basically a self-consistent piece of dodgy as hell folk belief. And folk belief is that the electron is a tiny dot and, God operates. Oh God, I must have turned up the wrong street. Oh, this is a huge, huge walk. I don't quite work. Oh yeah, okay. So, I can't, is that, oh, don't worry. Don't worry, you obviously worry. You're just sitting there listening. I'm having to actually walk on it. But there's this belief. And this belief system comes indeed from the Middle Ages. So, as they were reading the Bible in 800, trying to work out what it means, they're coming up with lots of crazy concepts, and there was enough sufficient people to try and say, well, how does this make sense? Oh. And they came up with the time idea of angel time. That is, that although when you say, Marge, come over here with a cuppa, do you want a piece of cuppa? Yeah, come over there with a cuppa and a Vegemite biscuit and whatever it is you have. You take a certain amount of time to walk over there. You know, Marge can be extremely upset, but the laws of physics mean that you take a certain amount of time to go over there. Einstein would actually allow you. NBM happening everywhere. Look, twos and threes, people just spreading the internet around the place. Okay. And it's tough. It's not as expensive. You can see them ripping out this both bits of concrete and dropping in plastic preformed stuff. So they've got a damn pat. Okay, so getting back to 1800, you've got St. Thomas Aquinas, who is doing, if you'd like, the Marie Kondo. I feel like does this theory bring me joy? If it does, fold it up. If it doesn't, chuck it out. Doing a bit of spring cleaning of all the theories and saying, how does this fit together? And they came up with the idea of angel time. Okay, this is that if I, as an angel, I can be here listening to this conversation, and then at the same time go up to God, make a decision, and then go down to Rome and tell the Pope to actually pull the fastenings off the lever and get certain indulgences happening. And so an angel, as opposed to a real thing, could actually move from space to space in instant time, in terms of that time didn't matter. And so this ancient idea of angel time is what we teach in our schools, that the electron in an orbital can actually disappear from one point and reappear another. And it says, indeed, nowhere. It can just reappear. And then this has caused a theological upheaval, that this angel time re-emerges in the classrooms. And people, typical of a sort of religious thing, say, oh, such and such Niels Bohr, blah, 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 says it's a probability distribution, that we are mere mortals and we cannot understand what the angels do. And this has been taught to our kids. This is insufferable. And of course, the upshot is if someone can believe this rubbish, they can actually do rubbish. Those who would have us believe absurdities can make us do atrocities. That is, if someone is not, oh my God, this is rather funny, this person's got a Labour Party, we're having an election here, a Labour Party thing, and this person next has got this huge rollout banner of Sarah Richards. They're just so dumb. Oh, I shouldn't say that, but they're not of our happening. The important thing is that they don't say that let's have a real dig at Bohr. He was actually, his institute, there's no real institute in a sense, but his institute was funded by a beer company. So a beer company who's all about marketing and all about presence and existence and stuff like that, there's no point having an institute funded by beer money where they're not authoritative. And it's sort of like, we can sort of get used to it in terms of Elon Musk and talks about, oh, I want to get advanced transport between places. I'm going to drill a hole between places, and here's a house with, these are all things that they sound vaguely correct, and there's sufficient sort of resonance, like a communication node to a world which is not fully mature, sort of like someone who's excellent with children, and you say, well, now let's talk about fighting a bushfire, and they start to sing a nursery rhyme, and you say, can you change gear? And I sort of like Elon Musk calling the cave divers pedophiles. It's outrageous. It's just a sign for us that he can't change gear. Now, that being said, he's a famous man doing a great job. Bohr, a famous man doing a great job, but he couldn't change things, and Bohr could not understand quantum mechanics. At the end of the day, he could do a lot of things, but he couldn't understand quantum mechanics, and came up with this theory based on angel time plus intimidation plus an army of people who are trained to put it forward. So they have the idea that the electron hops in places, and I've had a few people ask about simulations of electrons, it is right there in front of them. What is happening? It's a blob, and the blob changes colour. The reason is, unlike I've got a drink bottle in my hand from the Australian Institute of Nuclear Science and Engineering, ANSI. I think that's a derogatory term in Australia. But I've got it in my hand, and like that drink bottle, it's got a superficial dimension, so I can have colour and importer. Electrons need more numbers than that to describe it. The important thing, because an electron is fundamentally, electron is a complex number. It is the laws of the universe are not linear. They have a few square signs in it. So the occupants, the citizens of the universe, which are the particles, are not items which we use to accounting and buying, they are actually algebraic things, like the square root of minus one, stuff like that. But you can, well, the square root of one is an imaginary number. You can actually explain it by colouring. And so what we have is that an electron will have a shape and existence. It will have properties of mass, properties of angular momentum, but it won't have a property of, say, density. Or it's just like a density, electron density, but it's not, it doesn't have the properties of an object. It's like the object has a spec sheet, and bit by bit, things drop off that spec sheet as you come down and down. And so it does not have a structure in which you can put a marking and then observe that marking move. So you can't see it rotate or things like that. And but it doesn't disappear from one shape and reappear at the other. What it does is it oscillates with the incoming. Its environment is electrically sensitive to the outside world and will, for an electric field, change. So you can actually distort it. Now, if you have a oscillating distortion, a light coming into it, you can merge it full and actually take energy out of the space. So light energy, where is it? If I put so many trillion watts of light coming out of the sun and track it by the time it comes here, it says 8 minutes worth of light. That energy is in space. Okay, mate. The energy is in that space. So the space itself can spring, it has electrically spring, and it can oscillate, carry light, and so it can actually move within it, and it can be travelling through, and then as it's travelling through, be siphoned off and put into an electron atom system, an electron Mohr system, and it's not an instantaneous thing, no. If I have a very well-defined piece of light, well-defined energy, it will take considerable time for that light particle to pass and go in. Now, the problem is that our access to this entire universe, mental system, is, I think that one of our problems are that we have this ability to conceive things which are not real. And this is really great. Can you imagine, you know, we have an ability to imagine a large range of things which aren't real. And this is a great feat. Some of it is through stupidity. Some of it's too over-imagining. It's sort of like, and the actual reality is there. Now the great thing is the great reveal is an experiment where you can do, it does my school theory work? Or does quantum mechanics work? I know. I'm not going to make a decision, but I definitely not going to take a drug made by a school teacher. I'll make it by a drug designed by supercomputers with clinical trials and stuff like that. I think that really answers the story. There's a diplomatic answer that everyone's right, but at the end of the day, if I was in my society and I tried to save someone's life with school teachers' viewpoint of how the world works, and at the same time I knew quantum physics and could save someone's life, a judge would come in and say, at the end of the day, your logic system, I don't know what it is negligent. So it's just sort of this really understanding of arguments and belief systems. It's whether it's I think if you actually try and go in and actually engineer, try and, someone who's got misunderstanding, and you're trying to get understanding by getting to engineer, you just have to leave them alone. You just have to say, okay, look, have a great life. Now, I'm going to try and tell you something. You probably are going to listen to other people who will tell you it's not important. But just keep it in there that if you teach your children this type of stuff, they're not going to have as good a life. Now, you mightn't believe it, but you know, that's the way it is. There's going to be situations where... you're going to do it. Now, the phenomenal thing is that our society is powered by ignorance. The reason we pay other people to do something is because we don't know it. We are valuing their knowledge relative to our own ignorance, or valuing their knowledge relative to a more probable exploitation of your knowledge. So ideally, an economic system operates, g'day mate, operates through a system of trades where we get the optimal application of knowledge, i.e. that someone who's good at surgery does surgery. Someone who's good at that. But that's when we get the good people doing the most important things, it then comes in a bit of a shit fight for people, the less important things. And unfortunately, the less important things means that we've got to come up with a different way of going. So the less important things, i.e. teaching our kids, we say, we can't really expect people to teach correctly. It's just too hard for them. It is enough that they have been taught by poor people that they can continue this level of going ahead. Now, one of the things I wanted to point out is that the economy operates to apply the best knowledge, the best resources, the most efficient way in one formulation. There is another formulation where people making calculations of it is they calculate it in terms of risk and ignorance. So a parent coming up to educate their own kid, right, like that, would think maybe they might know a bit more than the teachers, but there is a risk that they might not, and they can't. The system isn't set up to manage the risk. So although everyone focuses on the knowledge, the actual way that risks are accommodated, are managed, means that the risk management then means that ignorance is very important. And so you, estimate your ignorance, such that you value. It's hard to put it. You value your ignorance. You are paying to mitigate the risk of your ignorance. Now, what this means is that, and there's sort of another problem in that terms of that we have a system of contracts and transactions which have to actually finish right away. And so I pay money, you give a service, the service is delivered, I sign off. So there's an offer, acceptance, delivery, sign off, you know, all that type of stuff. So we've got a contract way of going. But that doesn't necessarily go for unplugging the ignorance barrier. Yeah, lovely. That lovely electric. It's a battery-powered one, is it?
Yeah, mate. It's fine. Do you know what the best thing is? Is we've got the junior on his night shift, and it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? And you can start early in the morning as well, because you're not annoying too many people with that.
But you know what the drama is? You've got to keep it, you've got two batteries, right, to replace them. They're $300, okay? And I'm going through my first year right now, so far so good. Like, we'll see. It's $900 all up, and then if it's every 2 years, you've got to pay $300. Well, it's not so good.
The battery technology will
get better.
Well, it'll get better. But I think electric ones, the old ones were incredibly inefficient. You paid huge amounts of money, they'd go off, and no one, I'd have a...
Do you know why I went electric?
Right.
I've got two boys, and do you know what the answer there, like when they're growing up, and you go, mow the lawn, gentlemen, okay, we can't start it. That's why I bought it, because I'm there going, no excuses now, boys.
But you're mowing, like, I'd have a mower, and I want to lend it to the person next to me, and they say, no, that's bad luck, it's actually,
who is this?
Bonnie.
All right.
Bonnie. Hello.
All right, see you, mate. All right. So, that was someone on an electric... I don't know, it's probably like that in other societies where you get their general gist. There you go. He's doing calculations of mowing, and like he's beginning to engage ignorance, whereas it's sort of like electric mowers. I'm proposing the electric mower version of the electron, whereas the actual old mower, it's got problems with this thing, you won't learn it, it's got all this social structure. Now, I really do think that the old knowledge has developed a structure around it, such that we have to do it. And it gets put in, when I got my electric mower, partly because I had a petrol mower and I was beginning to fix it. Unfortunately, when I fix it, you don't get the fuel mix up, but you get the crap in the spark plug, you have to take the spark plug out, blah, blah, blah. And of course, it was one of these plastic things, and petrol went out, spark, then it burnt. My mower burnt to the ground. Then get the next one up, and it's got a good Stratton mower. There's really nothing like, you know, good horsepower when you're mowing. And the number of crazy things. Okay, so you got there, and then I'm mowing for a while, and then the nice German stuff, obviously made in China, blah, 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 this, man. The actual coupling between the blades, the big disc and the motor broke, and it fired out the blades, rotating blades, like a ninja thing. You could feel the jolt back as it fired out, caught something, fired out, and stuck into a piece of wood. And I said, blood oath. That's enough for me. And of course, this obviously hasn't gone into... the various legends, mowing legends that people have mowed around here. It's pretty dry. The sort of the other, you can see that they're in fixing up the fire stations, fixing up all the trip hazards for all the people. Oh, look, we've got NBM at the top of our bloody street. Over here. Okay, so that's the fibre people. Surely, the thing I hope is that as people go onto the NBN, we'll be there. G'day. Don't want to interrupt. Pretty old stuff there. You're referring. When is NBN going to come to the actual houses? You probably don't know. When are the people going to, like, in the house there, switch on to this?
Yeah, but just be ready right now outside.
but it takes a couple of months, because when this area is ready, they you
switch
get,
it on yeah, all
yeah,
at once.
Get, yeah,
you
get,
switch one person on at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've have you done other suburbs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so are people
in a Pickers as well?
Yeah. This is a sensible way.
Springwood as well on that side. We have done.
Yeah, it's a sensible way. Just not doing the whole country at once. Just doing just. Going through, and so people are super happy when it switches on, is it?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
So, the real...
So you have to wait for a couple of months after that.
Oh, I just hope that when people get on, they get off the old network, so we can, it's not so, whatever it is. Thing. Okay, well, don't let me stop you, but look, they are pretty old
yeah,
stuff.
This guy's doing that one. This guy is putting a new one.
Putting a new piece, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it had to happen. So at least by waiting, you can get the right thing. Like if they kept on upgrading every year, we'd spend lots of time. So all right, see you.
See you.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Bye.
Mate. Yeah, so there's all these cultural things stopping our understanding of the electron. And it really goes back to the... beer company and Bohr having to have something work. So like the idea is that Elon Musk, sorry, I'm going, that's a commercial concern going to science. Great thing. It creates a great good. It's just whether that has to move things along. Now, I think the great hope here is that the West just can't do quantum physics. But we're in Australia and we've got Indonesia and China up ahead of us, above us. So I think Indonesia's got a population equal to or greater than the United States, and China there, and hopefully, this is for the West, and this sort of has happened to us. If you look at the different cultures, they've come to a grinding halt, and they've sort of folded around their fault, and then another civilization has not had that and just gone a bit further forward. And so in terms of folding around our fault, that's what I would say is happening now, that we have a fault in understanding. This is angel time, beer, Carlsberg, science, and we've got a fault and we can't move forward. And it is not something for a individual to win. It's not something that you give a VC Victoria Cross for going out and storming one pit of millions of pits. It's not the way to do it. Hopefully we'll be able to get through it. Yeah, so coming back to it, so the electron is what you see. The mathematical version of the electron, the way we draw it, is not a dot. It is a shape with pulsating colours, like a beautiful cuttlefish or something like that. Okay, I'm going to finish. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.